James, the fifth chapter, verse 17. James 5 and verse 17. And we'll just read verses 17 and 18. The Bible says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. I call your attention to the first part of verse 17, where it says he was a man subject to like passions. Like passions. That's what I want to talk to you about tonight. Like passions. Father, I pray that you will help us tonight to get help. Help us tonight to realize that we are all the same. There's no temptation taken to any of us, but such as is common. And we are so much alike in so many ways. And so help us to see the solution to being tired, wore out, physically, emotionally, spiritually, those like passions that cause us so much trouble, those like passions that lead us often into a direction we don't want to go, those like passions that cause us to quit. And Lord, help us to realize that we need your help and that you will help us as you did Elijah and so many others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Like passions. We're very different in many ways, and yet we're also very much alike. And I love this verse. I love, of course, Elijah. He's one of my heroes. But I like the fact he was a man subject to like passions. The things that are problems to me, some of the same problems were problems to him as well. It's kind of refreshing sometimes to read about Paul in Romans chapter 7 when he talks about how frustrated he is with his sin. He, you know, I want to do right, but I do wrong. I don't want to do wrong, but I do wrong. And to read it and to read his frustration in that, and to realize, well, here's a guy that was subject to like passions, just like me, but he succeeded. He made it. He said, I fought the good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. He was subject to the same problems and troubles that you and I are. Elijah, the same way. A man who was subject to like passions as we are. He got tired. Amen. He had a headache sometimes, right? He became weary in well-doing at times. We know that. In fact, we'll go to a passage about Elijah. But you know, these are my heroes. Elijah, the Apostle Paul. But they were men that were subject to like passions. They had the same kinds of problems that you and I have. That's why the Bible is so practical for us. For us to read about people in the Bible, and we want to, you know, we kind of think, oh, you know, these are Bible people. Well, you know, they're different. No, they're like you. They're like me. We are much like the people in the Bible. And so we can read about anyone in the Bible and any problem they had, any trouble they got into, and whatever solution God provided, however they got out of that situation, and whatever victory they had, we also can have that same victory. They're just like us. Elijah, the Bible says, he was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly. When's the last time you prayed earnestly? When's the last time you prayed begging God, expecting God, believing God to do a great thing? Well, he did. And when he prayed, and then the Bible says he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, the earth brought forth her fruit. I mean, he prayed and there was a drought. He prayed and there was rain. Sounds to me like, here's a guy, he's got the same kind of problems I do. He's got the same kind of flesh that I do. He's got the same kinds of temptations that I do. He has the same kind of passions that I have. And yet, my Bible says, he prayed, God answered his prayer. He prayed again, God answered his prayer. Why don't we pray? But I want to talk to you about Elijah. And again, coming to mind would be the Apostle Paul. Coming to mind would be David. Coming to mind would be those that, you know, David, he was a man subject to like passions as well. And sad to say, he gave in to those passions. Sad to say, he did. You know, we hate that. And yet he did. But yet he ends up getting right with God and serving God. There actually is no excuse for any of us quitting tonight. There's no excuse for anybody giving up. You say, well, you don't understand. I'm exhausted. I'm physically exhausted, or I'm emotionally exhausted, or I'm just spiritually, I'm just wrung out. I just can't. No, listen to me. There's no excuse. People were subject to like passions who went on and had great victories. And Elijah is one of them. Elijah is my hero. He should be yours. He proclaims to King Ahab that there's going to be a drought. And it's that very drought that gets him in kind of a mess right in the beginning. You know? It's that very drought that God had to protect him from. And we just talked about this, how God said, okay, you need to go down to the brook Cherith so you'll have water. Then when the brook went dry, he had to go to the widow of Zarephath. He had a battle with the false prophets, and he stood and he did right. And on Mount Carmel had a great, great victory, and God used him. But right after that victory, it's amazing the story of Elijah. He's just absolutely wiped out. He's drained. I think physically he's exhausted. I think emotionally he's burnt out. I think spiritually he's just, you know what? I just cannot. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You say, you don't understand, preacher. I've been through a tough. Nope. But we all do understand, because we are subject to like passions. Our flesh tells us to quit all the time. Whether it's the fair and it's hot, And you're tired, and you know, whether it's vacation Bible school, whether it's a bus ministry, as the Baileys, when some of those times they'd get off that bus, it was 90 some degrees outside on the bus, it had to be over 100, and we just can't. I think after every vacation Bible school the last 10 years, Shirley has said to me, I think this is going to be our last year, preacher. And yet it wasn't. Amen. But it's those like passions. We are humans, and we are weak many, many times. And physically we get tired. And emotionally we get wore out. And spiritually, we're just burnt out. And we're all the same. Go to 1 Kings chapter 18. And let's look at Elijah and what happened here. And we know the story, and certainly we've heard the story, and maybe you've heard a better message on it before, but 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 41, we see Elijah after this great, great victory on Mount Carmel. And the Bible says in verse 41, Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And here's the victory. Look at it. And he went up and he looked and said, there's nothing. He said, go again seven times. And all those times he's praying, and God's going to make it rain again. And boy, what a blessing this is. It came to pass the seventh time, he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile, the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. See it? The hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. And God is blessing Elijah. And boy, it is just going good. I mean, he had his answer to prayer, and there was a drought. He had his answer to prayer, and he fought at Mount Carmel and won the battle against all the false prophets, and God gave a great victory, and then God answered his prayer, and he brought rain again. And I mean, you could not be more on top than Elijah was. And then comes chapter 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. She's threatening to kill him. I'm going to kill you. Now, he's tired. Understand, he's very, very physically tired. He's emotionally, it's been, victory takes a lot out of you. Amen. I mean, it really does. We're talking about real spiritual battles in our lives. It takes a lot out of you. You know, some Christians have no idea what I'm talking about because you just always give in. It's not really much of a battle. I'm talking about folks that take a stand. I'm talking about somebody today who says, I refuse to compromise. I'm just going to do right. I'm going to do what God tells me to do. That's what I'm talking about, somebody like that. And Elijah has fought that battle and fought that battle and fought that battle. And he's won those battles and he's had great victory. But I'll be honest with you now. Now, Jezebel says, I'm going to kill you. And it really bothers him. When he saw that, he arose and went for his life. Now, wait a minute. Didn't he just stand against all those turkey buzzards in the ministerial assassination? He did. He just took a great stand. And so here, Jesse makes a threat. And the Bible says he went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. And you know the story and what happens next. Verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a... What? Elijah? Yeah, he came and sat down under a juniper tree. And look what it says. This is one of the most amazing things you read in the Bible. This is Elijah. This is the man that called down fire from heaven in the midst of hundreds of false prophets. And the Bible says he sat down under a juniper tree and he requested for himself that he might die. Wow. Elijah? Yeah. He said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Take away. Wait a minute. This is Elijah. This is us. This is, we get tired. We get burnt out. And under the juniper tree, Elijah shows he's a man subject to like passions. He's like us. Just like you, just like me. You ever just sit down and say, God, just take me. Just take me. You may have said that in the shocking thing to us is when we've just had a great victory, and many times it's after a great victory. We've just had an answer to prayer. We've just had great things happen. I'm thinking of somebody who on one day at the beginning of the day, it was, well, praise God. Boy, God's good, and I'm seeing answers to prayer, and by the end of the day, it's like, it's over. We're all going to die. How does that happen? Well, it happens because we're people of like passions. We're flesh. We're human. And we're not much. But you know why I think it happens more than anything? We need Him. That's why we need Him. And we need to be reminded how much we need Him. You ever just feel burnt out? Totally. I'm just, you know what? I just can't go on. And that's exactly how Elijah feels here under the juniper tree after a great, great victory. And verse 5, it says, as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat, and so on and so forth. You see, he has like passions as we are. He's like us. But you notice here, please get this, and I'm going to go fast here in a minute, but God didn't condemn him. Stay with me now. God didn't kick him out, and God didn't kill him. Did you notice that? In fact, we don't even see God chasten him like it's a sin. You mean I can be burnt out? Well, as long as you don't stay that way. Amen. You know, it's funny how people they serve the Lord and they say, man, I'm exhausted. I mean, when I go to bed at night, I'm just exhausted. You're supposed to be exhausted when you go to bed at night. That's why you go to bed at night. Hello. Amen. You are supposed to be exhausted. And by the way, the older we get, the more exhausted we are. And the earlier that exhaustion comes. You know, it's funny. People talk about, well, you know, we stayed up till 11, 12 o'clock. And I say, 11 or 12, good night. We're well into a good night's sleep by then. But you know, there was a day we started our church in Indiana. We would on Sunday night, every Sunday night, we'd meet with a group of folks and we'd be up past midnight every Sunday night, always, always. And now midnight, midnight's like, oh, midnight. I can't even imagine. I mean, 11 o'clock, it is a scary thing. If we're not in bed, 11:11, that's one of our numbers we kind of like. If we're not in bed and almost asleep by 11:11, the end is near. I'm serious. It's just, and I know the next day is going to be absolutely difficult. Now, I still go out. Somebody calls me, and I'll go out early in the morning and stuff and pray with somebody or something like that. But oh, my, the normal day, we're exhausted. I'm tired right now. Is anybody else tired? I'm tired. And did you have a nap today? How many of you are tired and you took a nap today? Look at that all over the room. It's like, yeah, I took a great nap. I'm taking one right now. No, don't. But we get tired. We physically and emotionally and spiritually, we just get tired. And the key thing here that I want you to see is God nowhere condemns him. He does not condemn him. He does not kick him out. He doesn't kill him. He doesn't chasten him. And you know what? He won't you either. Because being exhausted happens. Being burnt out happens. But the key is God wanted him to think through, okay, what are you going to do? How are you going to get through this thing? And in fact, I love it in verses 11 and 12, and we'll look at a couple things, but it says, he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. You see that? You say, oh, I'm just worthless to God. I'm just burnt out. I can't do anything. God's going to smite me, and he's going to pluck me out of here, and I'm in trouble, and... But the Lord wasn't in the wind. And the Bible says, after the wind, an earthquake. Oh, God's going to just shake me up because I'm so worthless and I'm burnt out and I'm tired and I'm emotionally wrung out and I can't make it. But he wasn't in the earthquake either. Isn't that something? And the Bible says, and after the earthquake, a fire. Oh, God's going to just turn me into a crispy critter. But the Bible says he wasn't in the fire. Well, how did the Lord come? After the fire, a still, small voice. Amen. Isn't that good? Now, you know, the preacher may holler and scream and yell and stomp and beat on the pulpit and all those kind of things, and preachers do that all the time. And, you know, it happens all the time. Yeah, I came to church, I was wore out, and I was emotionally fried, and I just couldn't make it any further, and spiritually I was tired, and then the preacher yelled and screamed, hollered about all my sin, and I just don't know what to do. Listen for his voice. Listen for that still, small voice. Amen? That's so good. It's so good. Let me give you some points. Number one, his problem. Why was he under the juniper tree whining? Amen. Again, let me just remind you, I just can't believe that's you. We are of like passions. We're no different. And if you won't admit it, then you're probably headed for a rocky road someday. We need to understand, we do get burnt out sometimes. And why is he there by the cave? What does he do? Come on, Elijah, what is your problem? He is absolutely, he's struggling with really three things that we struggle with. Physical burnout. 1 Kings 18, verse 46, look at him. 1 Kings 18, verse 46. You tell me if he's not physically exhausted. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 46, it says, the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. He girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. That's about 25 miles. He's tired. Physically, he's just plain old tired. I mean the battle at Mount Carmel, spiritual battles, wipe you out physically. Somebody told me this. They said by the time a preacher gets up, preaches his message, sits down, it's equivalent physically to an 8-hour day. because of your mind and your body and everything, if you're really preaching. Now, if you're just reading something, it's different. But it's the same on your body physically. It's the same thing as an eight-hour day. Our bodies do let us know when they're tired. They do. He was physically tired. I don't know. You know, 13, you know, so many people, you know, in the past, you'll run into somebody and they'll have these mysterious symptoms and they'll have these things going on. And finally somebody say, well, I think you're just stressed out. And we as Christians, we all look at that like, oh, you must be a wicked sinner. No, your body's just saying, look, you just need to cool it. And it's okay for a while. God didn't kill him. God wasn't in the he wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in the fire. You know, we get so, you know, our bodies can tell us, hey, you know, this is God made us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And physically, our bodies can it lets us know. By the way, you have a fever when you're sick. Yeah. Yeah, our bodies let us know when something's wrong. And Elijah is, I mean, he's just plain old exhausted. We need to learn to take care of ourselves. We need to eat right. We need to do whatever our doctors tell us to do. And you know, we all, oh, you know, the doctor, bless God, I'm just going to do whatever. You know, how many people have cut their ministry short for God because they didn't listen to good counsel? Understand, sometimes, really, we just need to understand physically we're burnt out. I think he was emotionally burnt out as well. 1 Kings 19 and verse 4, he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. We are emotional beings. I know we don't like it. Bless God, I'm just walking with God, and you know, I just might as well die, he said. And honestly, when your emotions get weird, I mean, seriously, fellas, you know when somebody's emotions get weird. They say strange things. We all say strange things when emotionally we say weird things. We say, you know, I think about my wife, and she loves me giving illustrations about her. But when Angela was born, she was physically exhausted, and she was emotionally exhausted, and then all those weird things were happening. And I'll never forget, you know, my wife is the sweetest lady in the world, and she loves me dearly, and she's always obedient and very respectful to me and everything. And Angela is being born, and she was not quite the loving wife that she always is at other times. Now, that's physical, that's emotional, and all the stuff that goes with it. And to be honest with you, it's really kind of funny. We laugh about it now. But she, of course, she went through all the labor and everything, and then all the churches in the waiting room. You know, when you're the pastor's wife, it's a whole different thing. And some of the people are walking down to the room to kind of listen in. You know, I mean, it's just weird. And all those things are going on. And I'll never forget when Angela was born, my wife said, she said, honey, she said, David, you know, I know David wants, I can't see David right now. I don't want to see David. He was just a little kid. And I don't want to see David. And I don't want to see any of my family. And I don't want to see any of the church people. I said, honey, I got it all under control, babe. Everything's going to be just fine. I'll tell everybody just to go home. I said, I'll make sure somebody takes David home. I said, and then I'll be right back. She said, no, you don't understand. I don't want to see you. Somehow I felt I was being blamed. Now, she said, you remember that, don't you? Yeah. Oh, she was crying. It was on, and she never gets, you know, but again, you know, you say, oh, she wasn't right with God. I would never, ever say that. By the way, no man should ever even think that, because you've never had a baby, bub. I've often said if men had to have babies, there would be no babies. The human race would have ended a long time ago. Because, I mean, come on, we get hurt. Oh, my hangnail, honey, what are you going to do? But you know that emotional thing? It's tough. It's a tough thing. How about worry? You know, I've seen the most spiritual people around when they're just burnt out. They worry. They'll say something like, you know, well, I don't know how we're gonna. You always have known how you're gonna do it in the past. You've always known how you were gonna have victory in the past. But emotionally, don't be too hard on Elijah. I just want to die. By the way, when you're alone, have you ever said anything kind of odd? The truth is, it's been recorded in the scripture, and now millions of people have read it. What if everything you uttered when you were alone was in print? Yeah, big, strong, spiritual giant. How would you do then if we could put it up on the big screen? Okay, so let's get off Elijah's back. Let's understand, God didn't lightning bolt him. What's he say? He's down there, oh, just kill me, God, just kill me. We just get to see it because we get to read it. You may be very spiritual, and maybe disappointment comes along, and things don't go as you expect, and sometimes we go through self-pity, and sometimes we get wounded, and we get angry, and you know, all of that. It hurts to hurt, but you can't dwell on it. Why? Well, because we have something to do. Elijah's going to do something great here later on. He's going to be an example for Elisha, who's going to do double the great works that Elijah did. And Elijah's going to be the great example. Hey, wait a minute. We don't want Elisha to walk up and say, here's my hero. And he's going, we don't want that. Well, listen. That's why he's going to snap out of it. Amen. But he's got a problem. He's physically exhausted. He's emotionally drained. And it hurts to hurt. And then spiritually, how's he doing? Well, look at 1 Kings 19, verse 10. And again, thank God that when I'm alone talking to him, that's not written down. Thank the Lord it's not recorded. Oh, Brother Korea, can you imagine? If everything, when you're alone with God, if it was all put up on the screen tonight, what kind of missionary is he? Brother Chase, you're alone with God. Aren't you glad those things aren't put up on the little monitor out there in the foyer? Brother Chase, alone with God. Oh, this ought to be good. Brother Cook, you know what I'm saying? Aren't you glad? I'm telling you, I read this and I think, I'm just so glad. So glad. Because, you know, people, they look up, well, our pastor, he's tough. But that's when I'm alone with him and I'm wrung out. Boy, it's good to be able to get alone with somebody. And you don't have to worry about it ever being in the paper other than him putting it in the Bible. Elijah's got to talk to him about that. 1 Kings 19, verse 10. And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. I am the only, the last, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, radical nut Baptist on the face of the earth. Everybody else compromised. All the rest of them, they quit. They threw out their King James Bible. They quit going soul winning. They shut down their bus ministry. Everybody else quit, and I am the only one left. Yeah, you know, what's he saying? Where are you, God? He's got some spiritual burnout. By the way, let me just throw this in. And I'm about done with the first page, and the second one will go a lot faster. Without awareness of God's people, you lose an awareness of God. And when you skip church, it leads to more skipping church. And soon you're out of church. And all of a sudden, I'm all alone in this thing. You don't have to be. And if you think you're alone, it all becomes routine rather than a real walk with God. It becomes robotic, and you just give in to sin because you say, what is the use? Let me just remind you of something. A battle spiritually can't be fought physically. Amen. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. You have to fight that battle spiritually. When you have a spiritual problem, you're not gonna, you know, the flesh isn't gonna help you. Now the flesh, physically, when you're tired, you can take a nap. Amen. You know, I mean, you could take a nap. You know, and if you have an emotional problem, you could take a little break and just kind of relax a little bit and meditate. But if you have a spiritual problem, you're gonna have to fight it spiritually. Get in the Word of God and on your knees. Yeah, his problem, physically, emotionally, spiritually, he's wiped out. Number two is God's presence. Number one is his problem. Number two is God's presence. And verse 9, it goes back and it says, and again, I remind you that we are just like this. He is a man subject to like passions like us. And God's presence is so wonderful here. It says in verse 9, and he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? Hey, God knows what Elijah needs. God knows he's physically exhausted. God knows he's emotionally drained. God knows he's spiritually wiped out. God knows. And God knows exactly what he needs. And God also knew that he would obey when God told him what he needed to do. Amen. What's he going to do? Physically, what's he going to do? Well, the Bible says in verses 5 to 8, says, as he lay and slept under the juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. Isn't that good? An angel came. An angel came and brought him food. An angel came and baked a cake. I would call that maybe like a pancake. Amen. I don't know if it had chocolate chips in it or not. I'm not sure. And I'm not sure if it had log cabin or Aunt Jemima syrup or whatever. But an angel came and provided that. Isn't that good? I mean, he's physically tired. What do you need when you're... Well, you need to eat. Amen? Especially if you're an independent fundamental Baptist. And he has a cruse of water in his head. He did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time. Watch this. And touched him and said, arise and eat. Wow, he's going to eat twice. Isn't that good? Because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat. That's a big meal. What do you mean? He went 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Pretty good meal. Probably had some, I started to say ribs. I don't think he had ribs. But he probably had some steak and fried taters and onions. Amen. Anyway, just really good stuff. Now, isn't it interesting that God made sure that he was fed, but God did that before too. Remember when he was by the brook Cherith? How was he fed there? By ravens. Isn't it something when things get worse, God's blessings are better? This time he has an angel. I don't know about you, but I would rather have an angel come and fix me a meal than a raven come by. Ah! No, that's a crow. But anyway, I don't know what a raven says. Raven! I don't know. But anyway, swoops down and drops food, you know, that it plucked off of wherever it plucked it. Amen. And the angel came twice. And you know what? God knows what you need. When you're physically exhausted. It is something, you're physically, you know, and you don't even talk to anybody. You just talk to God, and we do, you know, and we whine, and we, oh, God. And all of a sudden, somebody's inviting you out. Somebody's inviting you over. Your wife says, honey, I just made your favorite meal. You see one of the bus ministries out there fixing hot dogs. Amen. Amen. I'm just saying, right? Something, you know, and God just works it all out. Amen. Physically, you're exhausted. and God sends a blessing. I remember times when I couldn't sleep, and once I did sleep, I couldn't wake up. And I, honestly, I'd wake up in the middle of the night and I would pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. And some of those times are some of the best times of my life. God knows. Visit. You say, I'll never make it. Well, I made it. He knew what he'd do. He knew what he had to do emotionally. You know, he says in verse 10, the Bible says, he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant. And remember, he's whining about all these people. And he said, they've slain thy prophets. They've thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left. And they seek my life to take it away. He's talking about Jesse there. And verse 14, it says, he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down, he says it twice, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he's saying, you know what? These people are heathen, God. And God, you know, they're not listening to me, and they're not paying attention to what I say. And I'll tell you, if you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're a bus captain, if you're a parent, you have gone to bed at night and said that very thing at one time or another. Why don't they pay attention to me? Right? Why aren't they listening? Why aren't they paying attention? I told them. I preached to them. I taught them. What are they doing? They're crazy. Why are they not listening to me? I might as well just die. But God takes care of that for him. Notice what he says in verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Verse 16, Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abelaholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. He says, you know what? It's going to be all right. He gives him assurance. Hazael will deal with the people. Jehu will deal with Ahab's family. Oh, does he ever read about it sometime? God just said, you know, I have a plan, and I'm gonna remove you a little bit from it. You're not going to have to deal with some of these things. I think it's very interesting emotionally. He said, why don't I just die? I want you to think about this. Elijah, it's very ironic. Jezebel said she was going to kill him. Under the juniper tree, he wished that he was going to die. Truth of the matter is, he wasn't going to die at all because God was going to come get him in a chariot of fire. I love it. Anyway, God says, it's all fine. It's okay. It's all right. Again, we get to see Elijah like that. But let's remember when we're alone in our woods, in our bedroom, in our living room. We just woke up. We can't sleep. We're all shook up about everything. And we're alone on our couch with our head buried in the cushion. And the tears are staining the seat cushion. And God hears us emotionally falling apart. He says, it's going to be okay. Here's what I'm going to do. And we walk away knowing God's got it under control. And spiritually, he took care of it too. Spiritually, in verse 16, he says, and he says that he's going to anoint Elisha to be prophet in thy room. I have your substitute already. I've got him already picked. And he does tell him this in verse 18. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. He said, there's 7,000. Elisha's going to help you. Elisha's going to take your place. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to help you. He's going to encourage you. Amen. And there's 7,000 still standing. You're not alone. You know, one of the reasons we go to conferences and things is to teach and to show our people we're not alone. Sometimes we get the feeling we're the only ones that run buses. Oh, no, there's people run buses all the time. One of the wonderful things about going to Lewis Avenue and seeing our buses being painted there was to see all their buses and to see some that were broken down. Not that that's a blessing, but it's just nice to know. We're not alone in this thing. We're just like them. We have the same problems and same headaches. And God lets him know, you know what? I am still God. I'm still God. And everything is going to be okay. It's going to be all right. And you know, I'm just about done. But his problem, God's presence. And then the third thing is God's prescription. God's prescription is very simple. He just asks the question, what doest thou here? You know, Elijah, while you're here, you have no opportunity to serve me. You have no opportunity to please me. You have no opportunity to glorify me. So what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? Get up, get out of the cave, and get busy. I got it all taken care of. But it took a little time. There was an earthquake. There was a fire. There was a wind. God wasn't in those. Then there was a still small voice. Elijah, it's okay. It's okay. And so Elijah did get busy. He did get up. He did get out of the cave. He did get busy. And he did do great works. If anybody has a right, we read about people in our Bibles that, you know, they have a right to quit. They have a right to give up. How about the Apostle Paul? 2 Corinthians 11:23. If anybody had a right, the Apostle Paul. Come on, folks, seriously. You know, if anybody's going to quit, it's going to be Paul, right? 2 Corinthians 11:23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. Now here's what he says. In labors more abundant. That means he's working harder. In stripes above measure. That means he's been beaten more. In prisons more frequent, well, you understand. In deaths oft, of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. 39 stripes, 5 times. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. They parked in my spot. They didn't say hello to me. They talked about me. I heard them talking about me. You know, sometime when you start having your pity party, just go back and read the scripture and read about all these all the time. In fact, you ought to underline in your perils, 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 perils. And probably one of those things in there you might be able to identify with, but probably not all of them. In weariness, sound familiar? In painfulness, sounds familiar? In watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak? And I'm not weak. Who's offended? And I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. Well then, what was his secret? What? How does he do it? How does Elijah do it? How does Paul do it? Acts 20 and verse 24. Acts 20:24. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Yeah. None of these things. all the things, afflictions, bonds, all these things, that's not going to move me. That's not going to. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. He said, I just want to finish my course with joy. So what are you going to do? I'm going to stop and I'm going to listen for that still, small voice. In all the noise and the junk of the world, I'm going to listen for that still, small voice. I know Job's friends are going to show up on my doorstep and they're going to point their fingers and accuse and all, but I'm not going to listen to Job's friends. I'm going to listen for that still, small voice. I know CNN's going to do a report and they're going to report on all the things we're doing wrong, but you know what? I'm going to turn that off and I'm just going to listen to that still, small voice. And all the enemy, they're going to make their threats. We're going to kill you like Jezebel, but I'll just tune Jezebel out and I'm going to listen to that still, small voice. And I'm going to let that still, small voice let me know that physically it's okay to be tired. Here, eat. Here, rest. Now get up. Hey, that still small voice can let me know. I know your emotions. I made you. I understand. I understand what you're saying. I know. You don't really want to die. I understand. But you need to understand, it's okay. I got it all covered. I'm just going to listen to that still small voice. And Spirit, I know you're prone to wander. I know you sin. I know. That still small voice says, but you know what? I'll forgive you. If you just come and confess your sin, I'm faithful and just. I'll forgive you of your sin and cleanse you. And now that you've gone through all that, go and get busy and do the work so you finish the course. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. A man of like passions, just like me.